Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. As I mentioned before the service began, Pentecost is the conclusion of the Easter season. And so once more, one last time, we go back to our Lord's words to his apostles on Monday, Thursday at the Last Supper, just as we have over the last few weeks of the Easter season. And our gospel lesson today drops us right in the middle of a dialogue, question and an answer. The gospel lesson begins, Jesus answered him. So we have to go back a little bit to figure out who he's talking to and what the question was. The who is Judas, not Iscariot. John makes it very clear in his gospel, not Iscariot, but still Judas, son of James. Sometimes he's called Jude or Thaddeus in the Gospel of Matthew. And we know very little about this particular apostle. He is associated with Simon, who is known as the Zealot. They share a feast day a little bit later on in the calendar year. It is this Jude or Thaddeus or Judas, not Iscariot, who asked the question, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How? Well, this question was prompted by what Jesus had just said to him and to the other apostles. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. These words may lead us to wonder, how? Like Judas. How is it that the world is not able to see God? There's very little indeed that we are incapable of seeing or knowing today. Why should God be excluded? We have telescopes and rockets to explore the far reaches of outer space. We have supercomputers, even artificial intelligences that seem capable of unraveling the deepest secrets of the universe. We keep in our pockets and hold in the palms of our hands devices that have access to practically the whole scope of collected human wisdom and knowledge, capable of answering every single question that you could ever hope to ask, from the silly to the significant. It truly seems that nothing that we as a human race propose to do is now impossible for us. So how could Jesus say that there's something that we can't see and we can't know? Especially given that he lived 2,000 years ago. There wasn't even a printing press, let alone the internet. If we want to see God, we'll figure out a way, right? Well, no. Because it's not a matter of intellect or ability, reason or strength. And for that matter, it's not a matter of good works or sincerity. Rather, the scriptures declare without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Not technology, not philosophy, not emotions, not good efforts and deeds. It's holiness. Holiness by which one sees God. The scriptures also testify, there is none who is holy, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, none, self and herself, can see God. How arrogant we are to think that we are capable of seeing God by our own works and efforts, that we somehow can approach God through our own means. We're not just arrogant in that way, we're also rather arrogant in thinking that we are so much more advanced than those generations who came before us. Solomon was right, there's really nothing new under the sun. Thousands of years later, and people are still saying, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower in the heaven, with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. They had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Maybe our raw materials are a little bit different, and yet the attitude is the same. And truthfully, the outcome will be the same as well. The Lord overthrew those builders of the Tower of Babel because of their arrogance. He confused their language. He dispersed them from that place over the face of all the earth. God did that once. He has done it throughout history. People test him. He will do it again. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. He, God, shows strength with his arm. He scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He brings down the mighty from their thrones. But all who think that they, by their strength, they, by their will, they, by their wisdom and knowledge, can approach God, let them repent. For if God declares that man shall not see his face and live, then man shall not. If Jesus says that the world will not see him, then the world will not. Really, rather than wondering about the question how the world will not see Jesus, the bigger question is, how is it that the disciples do? The question that really ought to leave us awestruck is, how is it that believers see Jesus? For we are, too, poor, miserable sinners. We just confessed this at the beginning of the service. We, in ourselves, are not worthy to behold God. Like Isaiah, the prophet, we must cry out, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Or like Manoah, father of Samson, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." And yet Jesus very clearly states to Judas and to the other apostles that you will see me. There are sinners who see God. They live. Isaiah did. The burning coal from the altar was brought to his lips by the angel. Guilt was taken away and his sin was atoned for. The Lord received the burnt offering and the grain offering offered by Manoah and his wife, gave them the promise of the son, Samson. And yes, the disciples did in fact see Jesus just as he had foretold, beginning first that Easter morning, and then throughout the day, again at the upper room and the Sea of Galilee, and even as Paul records in 1 Corinthians, appearing to more than 500 brothers at one time. The world will not see Jesus, and yet sinners do, in fact, see Jesus. His disciples, those sinners, see Jesus. How? Well, the answer to Judas's question is found in the question itself. "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" You manifest yourself. Jesus manifests himself. That is how sinners see God. In Jesus, who reveals himself to us, and in revealing himself, reveals the Father and the Spirit. The scriptures say, "God dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. And yet, in the fullness of time, according to his boundless love for us, God stepped out of this unapproachable light and revealed himself to man, so that we can see and know him, though sinners ourselves." We heard back at the beginning of this time of the Lord, this first half of the church year, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you wish to see God, look to Jesus. He is the fullness of God in bodily flesh and blood. He makes the glory of God known to us. His glory was evident in his perfect life of obedience, all the more so when he was lifted up from the earth, his hour of glory, when he offered himself once and for all for your sins and for the sins of the whole world, rendering perfect satisfaction, atonement for all your transgressions, that you, sinners, might be reconciled to God your Father, that you might be saints having the hope of everlasting life. Christ came into the world to save sinners. But when he came to his own people did not receive him. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So for this reason, Christ gives us his Holy Spirit, that we might discern these things of the Spirit, that we might accept the things of the Spirit, not by our own reason or strength, but rather because the Holy Spirit, who is sent to us from the Father and the Son, teaches us all things. God has fulfilled his promise, as told through the prophet Joel, as Peter preached long ago on that first Pentecost. The Spirit is poured out on all flesh through the hearing of the Word of God. And through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is living and active, creating faith in your hearts, in the hearts of those who hear this word, opening the eyes of faith to see Jesus as he would manifest himself to you. Without holiness, no one can see God. But the Holy Spirit creates faith to cling to Jesus Christ, he the Lord who is our righteousness, through whom we have justification and forgiveness for our sins, through whom alone we are declared holy and righteous in the eyes of God. It is in the Holy Spirit alone that we confess Jesus is Lord, thus are saved and have everlasting life. Judas asked the question, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who loves Jesus and the one who keeps his word is the one who sees God. For it is the one to whom Jesus manifests himself. Not a matter of your intellect, not a matter of your station in life, not even a matter of your bloodline. Rather, Jesus said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. We've been learning over the course of the last year plus in our Bible study in the book of Proverbs, it is the proud and the arrogant who refuse instruction and correction. In their folly, they refuse reproof. But those who humble themselves before the Lord are loved by him, and indeed shall see him. For he exalts those of humble estate and fills the hungry with good things. It is God's will for all, for you, for me, for everyone, that we all see him, that we all be added together into that us who receive the manifestation of Jesus. For it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all reach repentance. And this is proven at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit rushed upon the apostles and they began to speak in many languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. On that day in Jerusalem, people from all nations under heaven were gathered together, and they all heard in their own languages the mighty works of God, the mighty works of Jesus as he carried out his earthly ministry, the mighty works of Jesus as he suffered and died for the sins of the world, as he rose again from the grave, conquering death, as he ascended into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God, as he bestowed upon his church the gift of the Holy Spirit. The mighty works of God still today. That is repentance, forgiveness of sins, and baptism, washing of water with the word that cleanses from every transgression and makes one a new creation, a child of God. This is what the Spirit declared through the apostles. And some rejected it with mockery. They're drunk, they're filled with new wine. But many heard and believed. About 3,000 souls were added to their number that day. The Spirit continues to testify. From that Pentecost day forward, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, Europe, Asia, and Africa, America, yes, even here in Cheyenne, The Holy Spirit works through the Word, works through our English language, testifying of the mighty works of God, of Jesus, for you. And through this testimony, He opens your eyes today to see that Jesus is manifesting Himself to you, you who love Him, you who keep His Word. For those who hear the Word, those who hold fast to it in faith, there is peace. Not like the world gives. The world doesn't see Jesus, and therefore it has no peace. But rather, peace that passes all understanding. Peace that guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from all troubles and fears. For the Holy Spirit teaches you that you have been justified by faith, and therefore you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This the Holy Spirit teaches in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit gives you new eyes of faith to see Jesus as He manifests Himself to you in His Word. The Spirit teaches you of the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, and the abiding presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore, to whom be glory, honor, and praise unto the ages of the ages. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.